Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The other conversation and the other thing we wanted to talk about was a FIFA World Cup. Now, I didn't watch the finals. I tried to be very, very responsible, considering I'm up at 4 every morning. So I didn't watch it. From what I'm hearing, doesn't sound like I missed a hell of a game at all. That aside, it seems to have been very, very much a focus, not only the final, but many parts of FIFA World Cup, a focus on Israel. Now, Israel, of course, as you know, didn't qualify, and yet somehow they were arguably more present than some of the countries who did. Gedalia Bloom, partner co-founder of Heartland Initiative. He runs a popular X account called Mossad IL. Gedalia, very good morning. Great to chat to you. Hope you are well.
Good morning. Thank you.
So it's quite an achievement, actually, for Israel to have been so present in a World Cup that they didn't qualify for.
Yeah, well, you know, we occupy not only the land but everybody's head.
Yeah. But it does show that. It's absolutely. I mean, I'm seeing this morning so many tweets from the haters about how basically it was a Israel versus Palestine game and final, and Palestine won. Have people honestly lost their minds?
No, I mean, listen, here's the deal. Sports is a way to bring people together, and I think we're dealing in a society today and in a world today where we're seeing a clash of cultures. We're seeing a clash, a really big clash of the foundation of civilization is how people want to see it. We see Western civilization is colliding with the anti-West. And I'm seeing the, you know, the Red-Green Alliance, what we're seeing is against Western civilization. They themselves are against each other, but they're willing to come together for the sake of, upending Western civilization. We see Argentina as a representative of free markets, of meritocracy. You know, Milei has really turned the whole country around from this hellhole of socialist country into now one of the most successful countries today. And I think that it's very simple to see is because it was man-made. Everything bad about the country, the economy, everything was man-made. So once you got the government out of the way and let people actually run and thrive and the government just helped facilitate it, you saw that that's how people end up becoming successful. And the opposite, where you're seeing in Spain, this pro-Palestinian, anti-Western civilization is exactly taking away people's individual liberties and giving it more to the government. So we're seeing this completely opposite, worldview, and you see Israel is really the center, the front line of this war.
So following what you're saying, do you think that we can expect this to become the norm, the drawing of these lines in no matter what field, what area that that we might want to not see any politics, we're going to be seeing it whether we like it or not?
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, politics are always around. I mean, you know, if you have the Iranian regime, you know, sending over their football team, I mean, there's obviously things you can't ignore. But when it comes to, is this the future? I mean, listen, it really depends on these more historically Western leaning countries who are now devolving into this more Marxist, future. And it really, I think it has to do with whether or not the people on the ground are going to speak up against it, because those that are for Western civilization, for meritocracy, for individual liberties, obligations, rights, and everything, they're busy working. You know, they're not getting paid to be on the street to protest. They're not organizing themselves. So you're seeing that this very small, very loud, organized minority are actually the ones that are shaping the future of the country. And I think that if we don't want to see this type of politic in sports, we need to make sure that this doesn't happen in our own home.
Yeah, it really does take, and it is going to, whether people like it or not, it is going to take moral courage. I keep saying that I think it's people pleasers that destroy the world. Unless you are prepared to stand up and be unpopular and say the things that need to be said, the bad actors win. And nobody really wants, unfortunately, many people don't want to put themselves in a confrontational position. But I believe that we're going to have less and less choice to make, because if we don't make a choice now, we're going to have to make a bigger choice later on. And this is what I see happening, because these movements destroy anything they touch. Anything beautiful, anything that should be removed from this type of strife and conflict gets contaminated by it. And
a great test case is South Africa. I mean, how amazing are the people of South Africa? The smiles and the culture and the live and just the life that people have.
Absolutely.
And then you get all of a sudden these corrupt leaders who are willing to exploit their own people through corruption and taking money from outsiders, the jihadis, the Marxists, and all of a sudden it's look at how South Africa is now being perceived on the global stage, when in fact anybody who actually has been there, like I have, who live there and your listeners are there, you know, there's, you know, some of the most beautiful people in the world are in South Africa. So how exactly did society get to that place?
Well, I think it's a very simple thing, because we allowed it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there was a book that was written, and forgive me, I don't remember the name, but it was essentially a study that went through 100 years of political discourse, and they asked the question, and they researched it over 100 years and a number of different, protests and policy changes, you know, throughout that time. And the question was, what percentage of the population needs to actually show up in order to change policy in the country? In the answering and their conclusion was a staggering 3%. 3% of the population needs to be organized and loud and to be able to change policy. And that should be a rude awakening for everybody who believes that, well, I don't want to be the one, you know, speaking out. I don't want to ruin my career. I don't want to be canceled. I don't want to be bullied. And that's the power. That's the power that the silent majority gives to this 3%. And now they're going to sit back and they're going to ask themselves, how did we get here? And I know within the Jewish community in South Africa, that many of the families that I've spoken to, it's always a question of, you know, how do you continue to live behind these big walls, how do you continue to live this way? And they say, well, you know, this is our life, but we're telling our children that there's no future here for us. And that's a very sad, that's a very sad reality, that the place that a parents actually, build a life is no longer a place for their children to do the same. And that's very difficult, because it comes from the fact that people are not speaking out, people are not organizing, and they're letting their future be being dictated by those who seek their demise.
And what's very interesting about this is that people think it's about the grand gestures, and it's actually not. It's the WhatsApp group of physiotherapists where you'll get this bullying and berating from certain quarters that with Jews on the group, and they keep quiet. Now, I understand why they keep quiet, because this is a professional group, but at the same time, by not standing up, you are allowing somebody else to introduce something about Israel or whatever it would be that has got nothing to do with anything. And so it's actually a critical element for each and every one. And I mean, I'm talking to you, Gedalia, but you speak out all the time. I'm really speaking to our listeners and saying we actually, you think you have a choice, but you actually do not, or rather, by remaining silent, you are making a choice, and the choice is to give away that space and that ownership, even if it's incremental, and it's difficult, and I know that we're talking about the World Cup, but it is a perfect example of it. It's the World Cup. It's Eurovision. It's conferences on medical conferences, where it's literary festivals where Jewish authors are being silenced and removed. It's happening in every aspect of our lives, and unless each and every one of us stand up to it in the way that we can, we are simply going to give into it.
No, exactly. And I'll tell you, it even starts, it has nothing to do with Israel. It has to do with just this compliance. I mean, you look at the corporate world and you'll see, you know, in the private sector, in the corporate world, you'll see HR professionals who are a couple people in a company of thousands, tens of thousands of people, will send out a memo to all the employees. Listen, we're no longer going to be addressing a certain term in a certain way. So now they're changing the language, or, you know, the algorithm. You know, a couple of years ago, I started hearing people say the word, or you write the word, unalived. Like, what is the word unalived?
Yeah, it irritates me, that unalived, yeah.
And so language is now being controlled by not, you know, it's being controlled by the private sector, and people are becoming very obedient. And that becomes like the gateway drug for people to take over power. And that's how you get people starting to become silent. I mean, you know, who's going to be the one that's going to write to the company, you know, respond to all that says, listen, I'm not going to be addressing this trans person as a man when she's a woman. Like, no one's going to do that. They're going to just go along to play along. But that really starts to shape the culture and creating people more obedient, so they could then introduce other much more harsher measures. And then it comes against the Jews, and then it comes against other cultures, and then it comes, you know, conservative values, capitalism. It all kind of seeps into the culture until all of a sudden we're playing, we're playing a World Cup match, and people are wondering why people who are generally Marxists and jihadists are hoping Spain wins, and countries that are, you know, leaders of, you know, from free nations are now supporting Argentina. Like, this is how it happens, you know, and I think it's very important for your listeners to realize that it's when you speak out, you become a leader. You become a voice for other people. And the more people normalize speaking out, the more normal it gets. And it's not going to get the pushback that it was before. But it takes the early adopters to say enough is enough. You know, you see this in UK with Tommy Robinson. Mm-hmm. He still looked at it as being a racist, but he's been speaking up from the beginning. And, you know, I'm not saying I agree everything with what he does or what his style is, but we have a lot to learn from him in that people need to really listen to their inner voice and make it their outer voice. Because if not, then you're going to be living in a place where your children cannot grow up.
That is where we leave it. Powerful words from Gedalia Blum, partner, co-founder of the Heartland Initiative. He runs the popular X account called Mossad IL. Give me your feedback. Not a very comfortable and easy conversation, but an important one nonetheless.